The kind of appetites we have reveal to us the kind of heart we have. What are your appetites? What are you hungry for?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The joy of the starving soul. And that's really the essence of what is being said in this beatitude as it appears in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 6. You know, when you control hunger, there's a very real sense in which you can say that you control life. Find out what a man's appetites are. Provide for the satisfaction, the fulfillment of those appetites, and you will develop the ability to control his life. This is something that for centuries, dictators and propagandists have known. They followed that principle for centuries. And if there is no appetite there, create one. That, I think, is the watchword of the modern advertising industry in selling their services and their wares. They have a unique ability to convince us, or maybe our children, that we have a devastating need for all kinds of things that we never realized that we needed. They create a thirst, a hunger, an appetite for all kinds of things. And in so doing, they have a way of manipulating and controlling us. When Jesus used the imagery of hunger and thirst, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When Jesus used the imagery of hunger and thirst, he was using an imagery that was extremely relevant to the way of life in his day. The owning of a well, or at least accessibility to a well or a stream, and the cultivating of a field were matters in the ancient world of life and death. By appealing to these elemental instincts of hunger and thirst, these are basic elementary instincts to which every one of us can relate. In appealing to those elemental instincts, Christ is conveying the idea of a passionate desire or an insatiable craving. And he is suggesting that the maintenance of the whole of our life is as dependent upon the strength of our appetite for righteousness as the maintenance of our physical life is dependent upon food and water. May I suggest for the next few moments that you and I must and ought to develop an appetite for righteousness if we wish to be filled with the richest of God's blessing. You and I must develop an appetite for righteousness if we wish to be filled with the richest of God's blessings in our lives. The first thing I see is the strength of our appetite. And Jesus states that in these words. He wants us to hunger and thirst. And there, those are terms which express a tremendous strength, the strength of our appetite, hunger and thirst. The second thing that I see is the substance of our appetite. We are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And to do that, we need to understand what it's all about. And then, thirdly, I see the satisfaction of our appetite. The Bible says, they which hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. They will be satisfied. So there are really three facets of this appetite and this beatitude. One, the strength of our appetite, we're to hunger and thirst for it. Two, the substance of our appetite, it's righteousness. We're to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then thirdly, the satisfaction of our appetite. The scripture says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. Now let's talk about these for just a moment. First of all, the strength of our appetite. He says, I want you to hunger and thirst after this commodity. that I call righteousness. Now, it takes more than a dictionary to define the meaning of a word, especially words like hungering and thirsting, especially words that are words of human experience. It takes more than a dictionary to define them. Clearly, the word pain, what does the word pain mean to you? The word pain means something quite different to a person who has never had a day's illness in the whole of their life and to a person who has passed through a furnace of physical agony. Their experience has tempered their definition, their understanding of that term. Words which describe human experience, hungering and thirsting, pain, and other words that we could identify. Words which describe human experience have a basic meaning. You can find that in the dictionary. But it is life, not the dictionary. It is life which gives intensity and provides the nuances or facets of that meaning. And that is especially true, I think, of this beatitude. This is a beatitude which tells of the bliss, of the joy, of the starving soul. And that starvation is expressed in these terms, hunger and thirsting. As I see it, this is a hunger and a thirst which has at least two characteristics. And as we understand these characteristics, perhaps we'll understand a little more than just the dictionary definition of them. This is a hungering and a thirsting which has at least two, possibly three, characteristics. Let me outline it for you this way. First of all, this is a hungering and a thirst. It is something that is constitutional. By that I mean hunger and thirst are native to our constitution as human beings. They are inherently a part of our human experience. Not only is it something that is constitutional, it's also something that's critical. These were terms that were very weighty in the first century, in the ancient world. They're not so weighty in our day and age. They are in certain parts of our world. There are certain societies and civilizations, certain bands and groups of people and individuals that know what it means to hunger and thirst, but most of us do not. But in the ancient world, it was a very critical term. It is something, one, that is constitutional. It is something, two, that is critical. It's a critical hungering and thirsting that's in view here. And thirdly, it is something, if we have time to look at it, it is something that is comprehensive. They had a total hunger, and they wanted a total righteousness. Now, for a moment, let me identify those characteristics of hungering and thirsting. First of all, it is something that is constitutional. By that I mean that hunger and thirst are native to our constitution. They are inherently a part of our human experience. And they have a way of revealing two things about us. If we're hungering and thirsting, that's a revelation of two things about us. One, hunger and thirst are evidences of life. And two, hunger and thirst are evidences of health. If we're not healthy, we're not hungry. If we are healthy, characteristically we are. One, hunger and thirst are constitutionally a part of our nature, and they are revelations or evidences, one, of life, and two, of health. A man who's physically dead has no appetites at all. It's a truism, but I'm going to say it. A man who is physically dead has no appetites at all. You can't interest him in an evening out. He has no appetites. A man who is spiritually dead does have some appetites, but they're always for the wrong things. He always has an appetite for the wrong things. He has an appetite for what the Bible would call sin. And the Apostle Peter, in describing those appetites, is very vivid and not very appetizing. He describes the appetites of the unsaved man in this way. He says it's like a dog who has turned to his own vomit again. He has the wrong kinds of appetites. He is a hungering and a thirsting for the wrong thing. The man who has no spiritual life, the man who is spiritually dead. It's like a dog who has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 22. The unsaved man who's physiologically alive but spiritually dead has appetites, but they're always appetites for the wrong things. Now, the Christian is not like a sow. He's not supposed to be. Nor is he like a dog. He's spoken of in the scripture as a sheep. We have a great shepherd, and a sheep, of course, is a clean animal. And it's the kind of animal who enjoys the green pastures and the still waters. We read of it in Psalm verse 23. He doesn't enjoy vomit. He doesn't enjoy mud like the dog and like the sow. You know, the kind of appetite we have is a revelation of the kind of heart we have. If we're hungering and thirsting for the right things, it means that we're alive. It means that we have a spiritual dimension to our life, and it means that we're healthy in Christ. The kind of appetites we have reveal to us the kind of heart we have. What are your appetites? What are you hungry for? What are you teenagers hungry for? What are you anxious to listen to or engage in? Not only teenagers, but adults as well. Nature has a way of determining appetites. And if we have no new appetites, it may mean that we have no new nature. Would you say that you're certain that you have a new nature? You're absolutely certain that you've been born again. Nature has a way of determining your appetites. What are the appetites you have? Is there that spiritual dimension that's been brought down into your life as a result of a personal faith in Jesus Christ? And have you been feeding and cultivating that dimension so that your appetites, your hungerings and thirsts are healthy? You see, hunger and thirst is constitutional. It's a part of the very constitution of our anatomy. It's inherent in the human experience, and it's, number one, a revelation of life. And secondly, it's a revelation or an evidence of health. You know, one of the first symptoms of illness is an immediate loss of appetite. Probably wouldn't harm some of us if we got ill on occasion. Lost our appetite. One time I was 170. I knew I had to lose weight. I got sick for 3 weeks. I lost all that weight, got down to where I should have been, and I thought, if that's the price I have to pay to lose that weight, I think I'll stay right where I'm at. I'll discipline myself hereafter. One of the first symptoms of illness is an immediate loss of appetite, and one of the first signs of regained health after sickness is the return of that appetite. You say, well, Pastor, I have spiritual life. I'm not physiologically dead, and I'm not spiritually dead. I've been reborn in my spirit, but I'm not very hungry for the things of God. Then it may mean that we're not very healthy spiritually. It may mean that within our system there is a spiritual infection of unconfessed sin, a spirit of insensitivity to the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ over our life. And as long as that infection of unconfessed sin and insensitivity characterizes our life, we'll have no appetite for the spiritual things. The moment they're confessed and forsaken, that appetite will return. First of all, I think Jesus says, this hunger and thirst is something constitutional. It's native to your nature as a human being, and if you have it, it's a revelation that you have life, and it's a revelation that you are healthy. If you don't, it may mean that you have no new nature, you've never been born again, or at the very least, it may mean that you're a very unhealthy Christian.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
When Jesus sees that comprehensive appetite in us, we can be sure that we'll be filled with Himself.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.